You're listening to The Quest.
Quest for questions.
Questions?
Big questions. I'm Heidi.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Kim, the innocent bystander.
Yes, that's your role, Kim. So today we're talking about odds.
Odds. Oddball.
Odd man out.
So we're talking about the odds of what?
Of anything.
The odds that you'll find the golden ticket in your Willy Wonka chocolate bar.
How about the odds that one solitary drop of rain will fall out of an overburdened cloud and hit you directly in the eyeball the moment you look up at that same cloud?
Ah! Or maybe the odds the Titans will win the Super Bowl.
Ooh, tough odds. Good question. We asked a Titans fan. He said this.
Yeah. I mean, our odds have skyrocketed since we picked up Marcus Mariota.
Odds go up?
Odds go down.
How about the odds that Trump will win the presidency?
Or the odds that the Foo Fighters will go to Italy.
Or the odds that a large asteroid will hit your neighborhood.
I'd like pessimistic thoughts for 500, please.
Thank you. Okay, let's make it personal. What are the odds I'll get cancer?
The odds my kids will choose to follow Christ.
Those are some tough questions. So how do you even calculate odds? I mean, scientifically.
Oh, I love statistics. It's what I do all day.
That's Dr. Don Obert, a friend of mine and one of the foremost statisticians in the United States. I called and asked him, so, Dr. Don, how do you calculate odds?
Okay, well, to calculate the odds of anything, you look at the number of factors, determine if they are dependent or independent, and calculate the odds or chance that something could occur at random. For example, looking at the odds of rolling a fair die 10 times and coming up with a 6 each time. What are the odds? Again, assuming a fair die, the odds are the same as getting any other number 10 times. Of course, this is a very simple example, and in real life science, you must deal with a hypothesis, different types of error, various assumptions, and experimental design and models. Ultimately, we can make a judgment as to whether or not something occurred at random, or was the event outside the normal distribution of events.
Statistics is an odd science.
Are you calling me odd?
Never.
You know, to me, the big question here is, what are the odds that we can trust God with the odds?
Or maybe just, what are the odds we can trust God?
Now that's a good question.
It's the big question.
Big
question.
So who in the Bible had to trust God with something big?
David, big grouchy giant.
I'll give your flesh to the birds!
Noah, big boat.
I think I'm allergic to dander.
Jonah, big fish.
Oh, no.
Big problem.
How about Abraham? He's known as one of the fathers of our faith, right?
Right. Big liar.
She's not my wife. She's my sister.
He was scared.
So he lied?
Twice.
She's not my wife. She's my sister.
Big case of deja vu.
Okay, so what about when Abraham had to trust God to give him a son?
But he didn't.
Didn't trust God.
Hagar.
So the odds are Abraham won't trust God in his old age, right?
Hang on, Heidi. Let's be fair. Abraham did trust God sometimes. Didn't he obey God and move away from his home country?
Oh, right.
And don't forget, he also took his son Isaac up a mountain and tied him to an altar. That was pretty trusting.
I have to say that didn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, common sense.
Ah, Kim, but trusting God makes sense even when it doesn't.
Nice. So basically, Abraham is a mix of trusting and not trusting, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, I think so. Well, so let's jump to the end of his life.
Okay, so at the end of his life, he would have been around 140.
And we finally have a really cool example of when Abraham trusted God.
Another really cool example of when Abraham trusted God.
Right.
He needed to find a wife for Isaac, who was now around 40.
Ah, an arranged marriage. I'm 41. I could be okay with that.
I could arrange
really?
It for you.
Yeah.
So Abraham is wrinkled, white hair, white beard, and he calls his most trusted servant over to him and says,
"Put your hand under my thigh."
Ew.
No, thank you. That would have made me more than a little bit uncomfortable.
So I looked this up and found out it was just a way of making a very serious oath back then related to future generations.
Kind of like, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's the way we make serious oaths today.
Right. Okay, continue, Jonathan.
All right, so he makes his servant promise.
Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not find a wife for Isaac from among the daughters of these Canaanites, but will go to my country and my own relatives.
His own relatives? Like, what is this, Kentucky?
Ouch.
Uh-oh, are we going to offend some people there?
No, my family's all from Kentucky. It's fine.
Okay, good. So back then, they wanted to keep their family line pure.
More important, they wanted to keep their faith pure.
No idols.
Right. That meant marrying a God-fearing second cousin was a good thing.
In fact, it was recommended.
Probably not a good idea today.
No.
So Abraham's servant asked him,
what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?
And Abraham replied,
no. God promised me with an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. God will send his angel before you to find a wife for my son and bring her back here to him.
And so Abraham's servant put his hand
right under Abraham's thigh
and said,
I swear.
And the servant set out with 10 camels loaded down with beautiful gifts for the city of Nahor, 468 miles to what is now northwest Mesopotamia, a journey which probably took him about 2 weeks.
2 weeks to be really nervous about finding the right girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are the odds he's going to stumble across a God-fearing single woman from his master's family line?
Yeah. Not
good
odds.
It must have been some serious pressure. I mean, future generations were depending on him finding this one woman.
I know, right?
So he arrives in Nahor.
And then he might have asked himself, where would a God-fearing single woman hang out?
The perch?
No, the well.
Funny. So he goes to the well, and he's looking at all the women.
Does he just pick one?
No. First, he makes his 10 camels kneel down by the well.
And he prays.
Oh, Lord, God of my master Abraham. Please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this, I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master.
So if the odds weren't slim enough before, he had really set up some slim odds now.
But how slim really were the odds?
Oh, the odds are mind-numbing, really. I can't even wrap my mind around them.
That's Dr. Obert again.
We decided to ask what would be the odds of one man traveling 468 miles...
and arriving at one well...
at one moment in time...
asking one woman for a drink...
the odds of her saying yes...
and offering to water his camels too...
Exactly.
The way he had prayed.
The odds of Abraham's servant having this exact conversational exchange at this exact moment in time and having this woman say the words he prayed and then be from Abraham's family, you know, the odds are staggering. I couldn't even calculate it.
So just for fun, can you try?
Okay. We could estimate it. We have at least 5 factors here. The number of days in a week, 7. The number of minutes in a day when somebody would be potentially drawing water from a well, let's say it's about 480, that's 60 minutes times 8 potential hours. The number of families in the area, which, well, we don't know how many that would be, I would say at least 20. The number of women at the well, which we don't really know that either, but probably at least 20. And potential verbal responses from the woman, which is 3.
3 potential verbal responses. The first is a flat-out no. The second is yes, but not offering to water the camels. And the third is yes, and I will water your camels too.
What about no comprendo? She could say that.
Yeah, she could. True.
So if I multiply these 5 factors, it would be over 1 million possibilities. And that is not considering that the required response was not a multiple-choice answer for Rebecca. To consider that she would say just what the servant prayed for becomes inconceivably unlikely. No, it seriously can't be calculated. The fact that a woman from this one family on this one day at this one minute at this one well responding to the servant in this precise way, you know, it can only be God.
A lot like the odds our little planet can sustain life.
Wait, what? Who's that?
That's Don's wife, Jackie. She's a research scientist, too, specializing in microbiology. Yes, they're two scientists married to each other. So, Jackie, you're saying the odds of Abraham's servant finding Isaac's wife are about as crazy as the odds that Earth can sustain life?
Yes. For one, what are the odds our planet would have the perfect amount of gravity and inertia to keep us from falling into the sun? And we also need the perfect amount of carbon dioxide at 0.04% to regulate the surface temperature of the Earth. Add to that the way the Earth orbits around the sun and is tilted at 23.5 degrees. That gives us a wide zone where we can live. Not too cold and not too hot.
So the Earth is turning around, getting warmed by the sun, kind of like roasting a marshmallow over a fire pit?
Exactly.
I hate burned marshmallows.
Right? Only toasty brown.
Don't eat the burn part. So, Jackie, I have to ask this. What are the odds that a large asteroid could hit my neighborhood?
You had to ask that, didn't you?
Actually, we should all be really thankful for Jupiter, because with such a giant planet in our solar system with a huge gravitational pull, about 200 times more asteroids and comets hit Jupiter than Earth. So, thanks to Jupiter, the odds of an asteroid hitting your neighborhood are slim.
But what are the odds our solar system would even have a Jupiter? Or that the Earth's axis would be tilted 23.5 degrees? Or that we would have the perfect amount of carbon dioxide?
Yes, I would have to call those divine odds.
I think what she's saying is that we're all living on this little planet in the midst of the universe, living and breathing against all odds.
Right, like the odds of Abraham's servant finding this particular wife for Isaac.
So his camels were kneeling down, and he was praying.
Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this, I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master.
There she is.
The servant hadn't even finished praying, and a beautiful woman walks into view with a jar on her shoulder.
The servant hurries to meet her and says,
"Please give me a little water from your jar."
"Drink, my lord."
She quickly lowers the jar to her hand and gives him a drink. After she gives him a drink, she says,
"I'll draw water for your camels too, until they've had enough to drink."
Exactly what the servant had prayed.
So she quickly empties her jar into the trough, runs back to the well to draw more water, and draws enough for all his camels.
Without saying a word, the man gazes at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord has made his journey successful. When the camels are finished drinking, he takes out a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels.
Nice, I'd be like, I'm in.
And he says,
"Please, tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?"
"I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. We have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night."
It was Rebecca from Abraham's family. The granddaughter of Abraham's brother.
The servant bows his head and prays.
"Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me directly to the house of my master's kinsman."
Directly to the house of his master's kinsman.
Incredible.
Against
all odds.
I suppose we like to calculate odds because it makes us feel more in control somehow.
But odds are, we aren't in control, are we?
Life is uncertain.
But we know this.
God is the blessed controller of all things.
So, what are the odds we can trust him?
100%.
I'm Kim.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Heidi. And you've been listening to
The Quest.